And I'm Sheriff Quatri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning. Graduation is going on law school today in Abuja with the controversies. But I'd like to say, you know, congratulations to, I have so many children. On the day I die, they will need to close down the Ankara factory. Tosin Olaoye, you know, is a full-fledged lawyer, you know. I just put a call through to her about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
I wish her all the best.
Correct. Congratulations to all.
You wear Ankara now.
That is not time for that conversation now. you can't start that conversation.
It can happen anytime.
leave that conversation to us. Let's start with the Punch newspaper, page 2. New Naira, customers, companies panic as CBN slashes withdrawal limits.
Now, from what I heard from Sheriff's program this morning, there is no need to panic. There is no need to panic. My own understanding is that it has to do with cash withdrawals. Cash withdrawals. So what does it mean? It means that when you want to make payments, you can use the POS, you can use electronic transfer or whatever. Now, if those two fail for any reasons at all, then you can get more cash, but at a premium, you have to pay something for it. I think the intention behind the law, or behind the whatever
this policy.
I think the intention is noble. But the CBN might find that they have to tweak the, you know, part of it due to our circumstances. For example, in the rural areas, there's some areas that are still, you know, might not be able to connect. There are some areas where our mamas in the markets and so on and so forth, some of them might not be inclined. Surely we must find another way, an added way. But the whole idea worldwide is to, it's a worldwide policy. It's not peculiar to Nigeria. It's to discourage the use of cash. Apart from the difficulty in moving cash here and there, I remember those good old days when we used to go and buy cars at Berger, you know, and you carry a big paper bag under your armpits and you don't want anybody to know you're moving cash. We've been through all that. Some of us who lived in the cash era, we know what life can be. 5, 10, 15 million, you know, you carry it in your armpits or in the boot. I got, when Chief Fanikaode died, Chief, not, you know, Chief Femi's dad, and I had to go, got some money from, you know, from my papa just to go place the ad for them. By the time I packed at Louis Street to go and see Komi, when I came back, it was Femi Fanikaode who was telling me that, who owns that car there? The car was just boggled. They taking all the cash, you know. But thank God he was the one, because the woman was their money. I mean, so we've, some of us who have lived in the era of cash,
right,
we know how difficult it can be.
Right.
But let's read what the instruction says clearly. It says, the maximum cash withdrawal over the counter by individuals and corporate organizations per week shall henceforth be 100,000. I don't know what over the counter means. Does that include your ATM?
Yes, it does. They specifically state the ATM part. This one is when you walk into the banking hall.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so banking hall is 100,000. Corporate body is 500,000.
Right.
Third-party checks above 50,000 shall not be eligible for payment over the counter. So you can't write a check for 200,000 and nobody's going to be paying that person on that account, over the counter. The maximum cash withdrawal per week via ATM shall be 100,000, subject to a maximum of 20,000 cash withdrawal per day. Only denominations of 200 and below shall be loaded into the ATMs. The maximum cash withdrawal via the point of sale terminal shall be 20,000. So if you go to your POS, I think that's what it means.
Yeah,
most you can get is. However, there's an exemption that allows up to 5 million for individuals and 10 million for corporate organizations. What this also does is that it also helps the government. It reduces significantly the expense of printing notes. Now, there was something that, you know, I read somewhere about 10 years ago, off the cuff, I just read that. The cost of printing the notes sometimes is even more than the value of the note itself. Do you understand? Meaning that, okay, so one 1,000 naira note, for example, I'm just using as an example, maybe it costs like 1,005 to print it, which in itself is an anomaly. The other side also is With this, you can trace money. It also helps with crime. You know, it helps with crime, kidnapping, and so on and so forth. But knowing Nigerians, they might devise some other means. God help us all in that regard. But generally, it's nothing to panic about. That is one. Mm. What it does is that it wants to push everybody to the banks. And surely you can't have cash floating all over the place unaccounted for. It will help to reduce corruption, where people have soakaways filled with cash and so on and so forth. Such things. But he talks about exit. He doesn't talk about inroad, meaning, what is the maximum cash you can present at the counter to pay into your account?
No, I think that's not it wasn't.
There's no maximum.
There's no maximum. Like, you can lodge any amount in.
You can lodge any amount, but I also think that if you're doing that, there's the KYC will take care of that. If you are not a known customer,
it's
going to make business good for the washermen in town. If you know what washermen are, it's going to make very good business for the washermen in town. Let me quickly say what I mean by washermen, just because you don't understand. You see, you go to some shops, you see the same stock sometimes, 3 months, 4 months. Ah, I saw this dress the other day, and it's still here. How much is it? They tell you one figure that is completely out of reach. Then you walk out of the shop. Such places are where we call washermen. They keep taking money to the bank, but they are not making any sales. You know, sometimes when you go on site, you see a car lot. What will he get now? As he saw it, they don't mind him. The man is asking for it possible. Check out. If you check out that, you know, these are washermen, people that help to launder money. But so the reactions here are varied. Transporters react. The deputy managing director of ABC Transport, Juju Neji, he lauded the project. Lagos State Chairman, National Association of Small and Medium Enterprises, Adebayo Adams, said the policy would hit businesses, especially MSMEs. I think in the first instance, yes, but the truth is, especially in the urban areas, really, I have found myself not once, not twice, without a dime in my pocket.
Oh, yes.
You know, I pay everything by card. I'm even bad with cash anyway. Man, so no matter. Uju Ugbunuka, Uju Ugumbunka, who is president of the Bank Customers Association of Nigeria.
They have that?
They have that.
No way. That's not true. What?
Let me read it again. Let me read the paragraph to you. It says, the president of the Bank Customers Association of Nigeria, doctor.
Oh my.
Give me a medical doctor or this another. Dr. Uju Ugbunuka said that the cashier policy's intentions were understandable, but the execution and timing were not right, and so on and so forth. And then a former president of the Association of National Accountants of Nigeria, Dr. Samsiko, said that the CBN in limiting withdrawals was trying to reduce cash in circulation and drive financial inclusion, which was not a bad thing to do. So anyway, don't let panic and don't let overreact. I heard somebody saying this morning that it's for dim dim. It's good that you raise this mentality from your head, thinking that all government policies are geared towards certain persons. If you think that is true, we are the ones who have allowed it to happen. You sit back, you don't do anything, and you allow this to happen, and you keep saying it's for them. I've heard people say, so-so-so is running for election. Will they allow him? Who are the they? We all must feel inclusive when it comes. If we don't feel included, we should fight to make sure that our interests are included. But that's the story for another day. We are not in that mood today. So that's it.
So someone raised a concern, very valid one, this morning about, you know, all those POS guys. Like, how much are they now allowed to carry?
That business is dead.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
That business, at the very least, has become more expensive. But you see, you can't make an omelette without breaking an egg. You can't take a decision that would favor everybody. That's not the way life is. That's why God has created some people short, some tall, some this, some that. Yes, these are part of the casualties that we are going to have. That business, the POS business, if you're thinking of investing in it now, you better be careful because it's dead. And because to continue in that business, you might have to charge a higher premium. Because first of all, it's good to cost you more to get money from the bank and instead of the cash.
Right.
And so that business is dead. I mean, look, you remember there was a time people had various umbrellas all over and set up places where you could buy the charge card.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you... I can't remember the last time I saw one.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you remember when the phones just came, some people were even hawking the charge cards in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That POS business is dead.
Because when they talk about financial inclusion, these POS guys, they play a major role. Like, people get access to their cash so easily and quickly.
The CBN doesn't even want you to patronize them. They want you to use your card.
That
card that you take to the POS,
the
CBN prefers, understandably so, and I agree with them, that you use that card to make the purchase. Maybe you are going to collect cash.
To make purchases. Okay,
but the question is, say, Danfo Magba POS.
Danfo Magba POS. You use cash.
I don't want to talk anything politics. I was just remembered about the 800 naira a day this thing, I don't want to call on any commissioner of finance to come and explain what's done. We will leave that one out of it. Let's go to the next one.
Let's go to the next story. This is derailed. Mm-hmm. So this one is it's right here. The Punch Metro has a story here. To spread, soldier with fibroid tortured for attempting to resign. Oh, wow.
Hmm.
No.
Now, the Public Relations Department of the Nigerian Army, we would appreciate if we get a response to this story, which is on the point. If you have not seen it, you better go note it down. Because the story here says that there's a soldier, Lance Corporal Philomena Namoko, who is begging the Nigerian Army to allow her discharge due to her health condition, one, and secondly, the maltreatment she received from her superior officers. And the Punch gathered that the 38-year-old widow who joined the army on August 2009 was attached to the 22 Support Engineering Regiment Intelligence Department, Ijebu-Ode. Her trouble began, we're reading here, in 2017 when she was diagnosed with fibroid and asked to leave the army because of her illness. The Enugu State, the request was turned down. Don't let me waste time on that. And she said, around that time, late evening, I was tying a wrapper on my chest and about to relieve myself in the toilet when I met a commanding officer in my camp. So I greeted him, but he complained that he did not greet him immediately and so on and so forth. He started beating me. I failed in the process with my wrapper off my body. The next day, I was transferred to Abeokuta Ogun State and I was advised to go there and learn my complaint and so on. Anyway, look, the army should please look into this very, very quickly before it gets expanded. Because one, it involves a woman. Anything that involves a woman, you know, our antennas usually go up. And if it also involves some kind of torture or some sexual innuendo, because being beaten with her wrapper off, it says something. Okay, we'd like the army to look into it and please get back to us as quickly as possible. Because we place a premium on our officers, men and officers of our armed forces being treated properly. These people put their lives on the line. But for army, police, whatever you might think of them, DSS and so on and so forth, maybe none of us will be sitting down here talking. You might not even be in a position to listen to what we are saying here. So we'd like the army to quickly look into this. Again, the lady's name is Lance Corporal Philomena Namoko. The story is on the Punch. And she says she wants to leave the army. She's diagnosed with fibroid. Is treatable, though. So I don't know. We need to put this in a balance. We don't know what her form, you know, what her employment contract says. But fibroid is treatable. You go for surgery. At the very most, it's removed. And then,
but sorry to cut in, sir. So shouldn't an officer be able to decide whenever they want to quit?
That's why I said I don't know what her contract of employment is. When I wanted to join the Air Force in 1981,
you wanted to?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Why are you looking surprised?
I'm surprised.
I wanted to join the Air Force in 1981 as a graduate, and they told me that time I think that I'd have to serve 15 years by Abese Mizoro. Yes.
Oh.
Don't forget, those were the days of military government. I have people who went to university.
Yeah.
Martins, the two Martins that I know went to. I know so many people who joined the army as graduates, and I think it still applies now. Why are you looking at me kind of thing?
So, like, you have to compulsorily serve for
yes, you have a minimum. Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Okay. I mean, so that's why I said I don't know what her terms, of employment is. And I don't think typhoid is...
Fibroid.
What kind of morning is it today? Fibroid is something that can be treated in 2 months. You'll be up and about. You know, it's no... But she's also complaining that she's also frustrated that she's been tortured by this supposed officer. I think the army needs to investigate that. And indeed, get back to the public on it. We'd appreciate that.
So here is a quick one on this. This shouldn't even be in the papers because I would have thought that the military will have some kind of health insurance, you know, for their people that can easily take care of, you know,
this. I don't think it's about the treatment, really. It's more about the fact that she wants to leave, and from what I can see, I suspect it has to do more with the torture than with having fibroids.
Or victimization or something.
Victimization, yes. But when you start beating somebody and the wrapper falls off. You get
it? Okay, yeah, yeah. We don't know the full story, like you said.
Like I said. Why are you wearing such an innocent face?
Yeah, I'm just,
You look like a priest.
It's
you look like a priest at a funeral.
It's sad, really. Honestly,
I know it's sad.
Honestly, sad. I mean, I feel for her. I really feel for her.
Look, let's be very honest with ourselves. I'm glad she's standing up. All other women should stand up if you perceive or if you feel, you know, that you're being harassed unduly. You must stand up for your rights at that point. But until then, let's let the army come back with a reaction so we know where to take it off.
Well, see with a punch. No more white collar jobs. NYC tells corps members.
Is it truth? Is the truth. The reason why we're highlighting this story, there's a new acting DG, Mrs. Christy Uba, and she has said that there are no more white-collar jobs. That era is gone. The era when you leave university and you think you're going to work in a multinational and whatever, it's not likely to happen. So even the curriculum has to change. And that's why I'm happy that at least some of the private universities, they do teach this. I know Covenant does that. Teach them how to survive, you know, on what I would call self-employment, really. The days when you think that, okay, now I've finished, let me go and buy some ties and whatever.
Yeah.
In our days, it was easy. I mean, you were employed whilst you were still in school. You know, you'd get scholarships, you were employed while you're laughing at me. You were employed while you were still in school. Life was so easy, but not anymore. And it is worldwide. It's not peculiar to now. It's the new age worldwide. And we have science to thank for that. Half of the jobs now that are out there have been marginalized, they've been narrowed down. You're even lucky in some other countries, it's robots that do most of these jobs now.
Right.
Like, there are no factory jobs in some countries, it's all being done by robots. So, the new phenomenon is to gear yourself towards self employment, you know.
Right. I heard something about menial studies now in universities.
What's menial studies?
That's exactly what I. That's a question I asked the person who told me yesterday, and this is what he told me. He said that perhaps they want to teach them, like you've explained, like how to survive in case you don't have jobs, carpentry, cobbler.
I'm going to say this, but it's not going to be popular with people because sometimes we get sentimental. You know, you find people saying, hey, his own child went to university. Why should he say our children shouldn't go? The truth is, we are now in a world where your child does not need to go to university to survive. To be honest with you, what we need to do is to improve on what do they call these things now? These jobs, these hands-on jobs. I'm not functioning well this morning. But it's to improve on other institutions that can produce workable persons. For example, in some countries in Africa today, you can't just put on an overall and say that old is fan and say you're a mechanic. You have to go to the proper
electrician or electrician. Or a plumber.
In 1984, I visited some facilities of Mercedes-Benz in Germany. They have the Mercedes-Benz at that time had institutions where they train first class, and they don't call them engineers or whatever, they're mechanics. But if you say now that you tell your child to be a mechanic, people will look at you kind of funny. Or tell your child to go be a baker. Or to go learn proper catering.
Have you seen Mokalik?
I've seen that movie. Yeah,
that's exactly what you're talking about. Like,
you know, what we need to do is to make sure that our technological institutes, you know, have various where people can learn hands-on training.
Yeah.
Universities are for academics. I remember when we were in school, those who wanted to be professionals went to polytechnics, and those who wanted to be in academics went to universities. But social pressure, you now begin to match them in polytechnics and give out degrees and so on and so forth. In Nigeria today now, what I hear is we are now even producing an accountant who haven't even gone to university. One of my favorite sons, Abiola is his surname, he passed his ICAN before he went to UNILAG.
Ooh.
So I said, when you're ready, it's a full chartered accountant. I said, when it's time to get a job, they will still be insisting that you should be a graduate. He passed. He did the five, whatever, you know, they have schools where.
Yeah.
So many things are going on. If I were to have children all over again, if I notice a trait in one of them, you go to fashion school instead of wasting your time writing them and whatever. And you'd be better. After all, at the end of these schools, what then happens? Still end up in these various institutes, or you go and learn how to do these things online.
Mm.
I'd be prepared to send my child to a school of photography. Not this university.
Mm.
We need to understand that worldwide, those days are gone. In the Western world now, a university education is not compulsory for you to get on in life. Some of the best minds that we have.
Mm.
I think Bill Gates didn't go to university. Mm. What about the Facebook guy, Zuckerberg?
He went to college.
He went. What about Bill Gates is the Microsoft guy.
Mm.
Who was some other? What about Musk, the Twitter guy?
Elon Musk. No, I don't know his story.
Yeah, what that one was born with that. But in all seriousness, don't do things. It's important that parents don't do things for their own ego, so that you can boast that
my son has a spot on.
Don't do things for ego. Look at what your child can do. There, for example, there is an institute that I know in America. There's one institute, I think it's owned by ITT or whatever it is.
Mm.
They teach them about how to handle street lights.
Mm.
And it's a big industry, and they're not necessarily that rich, and it's a big, and the future is endless.
Right.
So
right.
Let's go there. Oshara.
I also know quite a number of people are going into solar technology.
And
it's a big industry in Nigeria.
You see, because academics doesn't make a man, no.
Mm.
But that's a debate for another day.
For another day. Right.
Academics doesn't make a man, yeah.
Let's take this one, perhaps our last one. Unpaid allowance, ex-soldiers to picket finance ministry Monday.
This is coming in with this other one. And I thought all of you, thankfully though, the old soldiers that were here, you remember their story. They got a phone call and help is, you know, they're getting some help to see if they can get their allowances. I was shocked to see this again. Retired military personnel who are being owed security debarment allowance have written to the Minister of Finance to notify her of their plans to picket her ministry. This is unfortunate and shouldn't be happening. And that a security debarment allowance is the money paid to retired military personnel to discourage them from using the skills they acquired while in service against the government. Last year, the veterans launched a national protest against non-payment of the allowance under the auspices of the Coalition of Concerned Military Veterans. There's nothing more to say about this. This is completely disgraceful. Completely. I repeat, completely. The three men who were here that day, I was weeping like a baby when the program ended. These people, you needed to see them put their lives on the line for the country, and we now subject them almost 20 years after to this kind of embarrassment. The army should get his act together. Somebody must be working some money somewhere. You know, and I think it's about time, you know, the army did the needful. If the money has been worked, or if it has, whatever it is, let's get this out of the way, for God's sake. Let's get this out of the way. I wouldn't want us to be seeing things like this in the new year. It would be very, very unfortunate.
Yeah, it will be. I think we can squeeze in this one now. Police probe alleged sale of human organs by two teenagers in Lagos.
Yes, I had to highlight this story. Oh, okay, now these two teenagers, without the consent of their parents, without the consent of their parents, they reside at Yanokwaja, and they sold their organs to a medical doctor in Abeokuta last month for 200,000. The girls, one is 17-year-old, Precious Ikechukwu, daughter of a Pentecostal bishop in Lagos, and her father's secretary, 19-year-old Teresa Obam, allegedly connived with an adult member of the church, Mrs. Adeleke Blessing, and went to a medical doctor at Red Roof Specialist Hospital, Abeokuta, where their organs were sold for 100,000 each. I think the police should move in on this very quickly. The bubble burst in September 2022 when Precious, the daughter of the bishop, started vomiting and she was taken to hospital by her father, who thought it was typhoid or malaria. The doctor requested for medical tests, which later revealed that her back part and her private part were damaged. Oh, no. Okay, please read this story on page 7 of the Vanguard. I can't continue with it. It's too gory. But you need to keep an eye. You need to keep an eye on young people around you. We thought we'd highlight this. I don't know. I can't read the story. You know, it's too horrible. Mm. But I hope the police gets in onto the matter and justice is done. From what I can read here, these two girls will not be the same again.
Yeah,
their life has been virtually terminated, even though they are still alive.
Mm. We have to go now. That's our show.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Lagos. Let's take this break. When we return, we'll talk some more about the cash withdrawal limits. So stay here. Don't go anywhere, please.
When I finish downloading this show like this, I will go straight to Tayo's house to eat sweet jollof then.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not